following presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, is intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Please see additional important disclosure at the end of this presentation. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.
Hey, everybody, it's Josh Jalinski, the financial quarterback. Today, we're challenging Dave Ramsey's recent hit piece on Social Security as an epic failure. Should you take it at 62 and invest it instead? Then, in extra points, what wisdom do Easter and Passover hold for battling life's giants? We'll break down all this and more on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. In another episode of People Who Make Dumb Decisions, Dave Ramsey recently said that it sucks beyond belief. Well, what sucks, you might ask? Social Security. He calls it an epic failure. And here's what he says you should be doing with your benefits, according to Lou Carlazzo of Yahoo Finance. Tim, it doesn't matter if now or later what you plan to do with the money. Rather, he thinks you should ask, how do you plan to put it to work? Ramsey has famously said the current Social Security system sucks beyond belief. Later in the same rant, he calls it an epic failure. Ramsey shared his views on an episode of his show with Tracy, a 61-year-old married man from Billings, Montana. Tracy said that he was still working, but eyeballing those future payments, though with no shortage of sharp tongue in cheek. When is the best time to take advantage of that fantastic program? Ramsey riffed on a possibility relevant to Tracy's situation. Why not take the payouts at the earliest possible point and put it in the market? It usually makes sense to take it early if you're going to do what you're going to do, which is invest every bit of it. Here's the thing. If you're like most people who are struggling, are you going to invest every bit of the Social Security? No. If you're like this Tracy guy, you're working hard and you're living paycheck to paycheck. And I would argue that the thing that Tracy should do is actually not invest it, but let it grow from 62 to 70. Why? Because Tracy's probably going to spend it on chocolate or a jacuzzi. Maybe he's going to go to AutoZone and buy some car parts. But here's the point. Is Tracy really going to invest it? Now, if Tracy really is going to invest it, and Tracy is extremely diligent, you could make a case for investing it. But 90% of the folks listening are going to not be a part of the top 10% that save religiously. So I would argue let it grow, because every year you delay Social Security, you get an 8% bump. The only other reason I would take it at 62 is if you're going to die soon. Now you might say, how am I going to die? I'm 62. Well, maybe you had a heart attack at 63. And the doc says you only have a year to live. But you know what? You could live 20 years after you have a heart attack. So it's not merely heart attack. You got to have like heart attack and you've had to have a stroke and you've had to have cancer. You know, you have to have real bad luck. So like my dad had a punctured lung. He had triple bypasses, angioplasties, high blood sugar. He was diabetic. He had a lot of issues. So my father, I did recommend to take at 62, but not because he was going to invest it. It was so we could go to Disney World once a year with my mom, because I thought they'd only have about 8 to 10 years. And I was right. So there are some decisions that are not merely economic. And with Social Security, you need to take into account, if you want to take it early, are you going to invest the difference? If you're going to spend it, let it build. Number two, are you going to live a long time? And you might say, well, I'm unhealthy. But is your spouse healthy? Because you got 20, 30 years for the two of you to plan. So this is why I did a show, by the way. I found that too many talking heads, and no disrespect to Ramsey, big audience, and salute him for helping people get out of debt and screaming, I'm debt free and all that other stuff. You know, that's great. I don't think you should be buying the jacuzzi either. So I agree with him there. But where I disagree, and this is why I started my show, is people listen to talking heads and they think what they hear, for some reason, if this person says this, I'm going to do this. And that is wrong. You need personalized investment advice from a qualified financial advisor. I am a financial advisor, but I'm not giving financial advice over the airways because I do not know your circumstance. And too many of us want to listen and we get confidence projected from these people. And we then make dumb decisions because we hear one snippet. Now, you could say that Social Security should not be your chief source of income in retirement. And I would agree with that. You should have a three-legged stool of retirement income. You should have your Social Security, you should have your pension, and you should have your personal savings. But a lot of people don't have savings anymore, and a lot of people don't have pensions anymore. A lot of our listeners will have investment savings. And then it is critical, I recommend everyone get a personalized Social Security optimizer tool. You can go to maximizemysocialsecurity.com. My good friend Lawrence J. Kotlikoff built an amazing software at maximizemysocialsecurity.com where you can figure out what your optimal Social Security strategy would be. But here's the thing, Social Security is clawing back money from people. You need to use this software to make sure they don't come back with clawbacks. You know, that's a big thing. They are literally calling people who are like 83 and saying, you've been getting the wrong check for the last 13 years. You owe us thousands. And Granny picks up the mail and she's like, well, my husband died. I'm going to fix income now. I'm losing his pension. I'm losing his Social Security. How am I going to pay this back? Well, if you've been listening to my show for the last so many years, we've been doing a radio show for years, and I've been talking about Social Security planning for something like 15 years. So the correct decision for Social Security can mean tens of thousands in retirement dollars. I urge you to double check your numbers with maximizemysocialsecurity.com. There have been reports of big errors from people who don't do this. And there are many different cases, divorce, remarriage, widowdom. All of those things affect you. And there are what-if scenarios. So just because somebody says Social Security sucks, you know what? A lot of people like Social Security. That's why it's the holy grail. What do they call it? The third rail in American politics or something like that? No Democrats cutting it, no Republicans cutting it. Because when they do, you know, their job will be cut. Hey, this is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. We'll be back after these messages.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jelinski, and learn how to protect your financial future in a down economy. Josh and his team at the Jelinski Advisory Group can help you lower your taxes and lower your risk in these uncertain times with a 27-point checklist designed to improve your financial health. Whether you're worried about runaway prices, fear of an upcoming recession, or a stock market meltdown, tune in to the financial quarterback and count on Josh Jelinski to call the play. For a free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check, call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674. Or visit Jelinski.org. That's Jalinski.org.
Now, I want to be clear here that many considerations on Social Security need to be factored in. For example, when FDR first created Social Security, do you know how much Social Security was taxed? 0%. He made a promise to Americans, all hardworking Americans, I will not tax Social Security. He didn't. He kept that promise. Do you know who did? Republican President Ronald Reagan. He taxed it up to 50% as part of the budget compromises with the Democrats in the Senate to get his tax rate down. And then about 10 years later, President Bill Clinton raised the tax to 85% of your Social Security check can be taxed. That doesn't mean the 85% rate doesn't mean a 50% rate. It means of the check you get from the government, if you got $1,000 a month, $850 of that goes on your income tax return and you pay income tax on that. They changed the deal. They changed the rules 50 years after. And it was designed, that tax was supposed to fund the Social Security Trust Fund. And this is the thing. They always seem to tug at the heartstrings and say, this new tax will fund Social Security. Does it ever? No. So I don't want to have any other tax increases to fund Social Security. I think we should get rid of unnecessary waste, fraud, and abuse. They've done these studies, right, where they say, the Peter G. Peterson Foundation says there's not enough waste, fraud, and abuse to go around. I don't know about you, but I've heard some crazy stories. I met a guy one time who went to prison, and the guy said they had brand new trucks, like these beautiful $50,000, $60,000 trucks to prison. And they had to like trash them every year so that they would get that new truck in the next budget year. So there are things that is not deemed waste, fraud, or abuse that a department in the government does so that they don't get budget cuts for the next year. I think a good program would be every single federal agency needs to cut a budget by 1% every year for the next 10 years. And they get rewarded based upon the cuts. You know, so they actually get a little bit more money if they find money. Not this thing where you have a line item. And if one federal agency is getting, let's say, $80 billion, they don't want to say, hey, we don't need that 80. We saved an extra $90 billion, you know, $900 million. Because if they do, they won't get rewarded the next year. They'll get penalized. Public sector works very different than the private sector. So my point is this. Social Security, if you're going to argue that I'd rather that money growing for me in the market than in the government's hands, yeah. I would love to have my own Social Security privatized. And all that money I put in Social Security would go into a private 401k style account for me and my loved ones, like a health savings account. I would love that. But George Bush tried that in 06, 07, 08. It was not politically appetizing at the time. You know how much the government takes? If you're making 100 grand a year, which is a round number, family of four, whatever it might be, you know how much the government takes out of your paycheck for Social Security? $6,200 a year. And then your employer pays another $6,200. So to me, that should fund Social Security. I wonder what it would be like if we saved 13 grand a year for 30 years at a 7% rate of return. What do you think it would be? Whole lot more than you're getting from Social Security. So in that way, I think that's what Dave Ramsey's saying, it sucks. I would agree with him there. But what you got to realize is the average person has not done the amount of savings they should, so they rely on Social Security. So we can't change the system midstream. But what I would do is, hey, let people in their 20s opt out of it or change it. Everybody born, you know, 1984 or later or 1990 or later, you have your own private account. That way they have 30, 40 years to get used to this. But it's not going to happen. So if you save 13 grand a year for 30 years at 7%, that would grow to $1.313 million. A lot of people would rather have that than a Social Security check. But a lot of people like Social Security whenever it's polled. because they like getting that check that feels like free money, but it's not free. Normal working person, 100 grand a year over 30 years, you know, husband, wife, 50 grand each or whatever. Guess what? You've put in 300 or 400 grand of your own money over a 30-year working lifetime. Wouldn't you want the growth of that money rather than the mismanagement of the federal government? So we have what we want, right? And then we have what is. Ideally, we'd want to have 1.3 million saved. But what is? People haven't saved enough. They haven't gotten started early. Some of you have listening, and I congratulate you. So there's a difference between public policy, right? And what do you do with your own Social Security decision? Well, you want to optimize it. That's the point of Maximize My Social Security programs. Another consideration, as we conclude, is you might be unhealthy, your spouse might be healthy. So you're really planning Social Security if you die, because the higher earning spouse leaves the higher Social Security check to their spouse. The lower earning spouse loses it. So it's really like a what if. It's in a sense old age insurance as it was originally thought of. Here's the thing. If you take it at 62 and you die at 63 and your spouse lives till 90, you screwed your spouse for like 27 years. You put your spouse in a worse financial position for 27 years because you listened to Dave Ramsey. And I'm not saying, you know, that that's a result of his advice, but the point is people will hear these things, which are anecdotal, right? We like to hear a particular host talk to somebody and we see ourselves in their story. But nobody truly replaces your story. And that was what influenced me to get into being a financial talking head, to really tell people your story is unique. We talking heads, we try to say things that are generalizations to generally educate the audience. But everybody's different. Generally, I would say it's best to wait, because Social Security gives you guaranteed 8% growth. The market's not guaranteed 8%. Your bank account's not guaranteed 8%, but Social Security is. But if you were like my parents and they both didn't have the longest life expectancy, then I would say take it early. If one spouse is healthy and one isn't, still let that build. And it also depends on if you need it. It depends on how aggressive you are. Depends on how likely you are to invest it. And there is no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to Social Security or your money. So you have to get your own numbers looked at by a qualified financial advisor. I'm Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. And remember, Social Security is America's favorite annuity. So you should learn how to optimize it. Welcome back to Extra Points, where we tackle your financial questions, dive into current money matters, or explore what's buzzing in the financial world, all based on what you, our listeners, are curious about. Josh, what do we have today?
You know, we got Easter and Passover coming up this spring. There's something in there we could talk about.
Okay, well, are we recording?
Yeah.
Jim on a whim.
Jim on a whim.
What are we? We're like the Isle of Misfit Toys and Fisher's Hermes.
What is the Island of Misfit Toys?
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh, that's Rudolph. No wonder I don't know what that is. I thought you were talking about Toy Story.
You've never seen this?
You know, I think we had a VHS of it. Are you kidding me? I was the only Jewish kid in my school. I was like dying to get stuff like this.
Hermes was the son of a dentist.
My nickname in high school, they used to call me the Heat Miser.
Why?
And I never understood it because my face and nose were always really red and I was short.
Oh, and that's due to maybe Hermes. Maybe that's why. Okay, so in Rudolph, there was a guy named Hermes. He was an elf.
I just looked him up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hermes.
Oh, an elf.
He stands side by side with Rudolph.
Oh, God.
Why we love Hermes, the elf who became a dentist.
That sounds like my childhood path that I stepped away from.
Is that maybe why they called you the Heat Miser?
Yeah, my track coach would always call me the Heat Miser.
I was mocked also in high school by teachers. So I had this one teacher who looked like Jerry Springer.
Mm.
And he picked on me because of my Christian faith. And every day I was either a junior or senior and they would go, Jerry, Jerry. And for some reason, I would be debating the teacher. So I think he was trying to like say, oh, you're not going to believe this stuff when you go to college. So I was like, I'm very reasoned. I believe this stuff about God mm-hmm. and this and that. And kids would love hearing me debate with the teacher. The course was called Ethics and Criminology. And it was made to be like a college course in high school. And the guy was probably a very conservative teacher, but he was pretending he was a liberal. Interesting dynamic. And he would call me inappropriate names.
That's high school.
Yeah, but like, can teachers do that anymore? I don't think so.
I had a teacher who would dump pencil shavings on my head as a joke, but still, he would throw the calculators to people across the room. He didn't come back the year after. He was his first year teaching. But some of the stuff, I just think back and it's just like, it's just hilarious.
How did people get away with that?
Yeah, that's public school for you.
Well, I think back in the day, our parents like didn't really care. They were like, everybody gets bullied. It's part of life. Suck it up. You know, now there's like a bullying commission. I don't agree with bullying, but you know.
Are you kidding me? I was the only Jewish kid in my school. I mean, look at Easter. You know, everyone got Easter candy and egg hunts and we couldn't eat bread.
You didn't get the Passover chocolate lamb?
What's that?
That's a thing they do now.
A chocolate
lamb?
A
chocolate lamb. Yeah,
that's not a thing.
Okay, but look, the solid chocolate lamb.
Just in time for Easter coming up. It's funny because Jews have a lot of things that, you know, run parallel to Easter stuff during Passover. Like, do you know about the Afikomen?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like hiding Easter eggs. We have hiding a piece of matzah.
I do a Seder. My kids love the Maccabees. You ever hear them?
No.
They have all the Passover songs in a catchy way.
Mm. I thought all we had was Adam Sandler just cranking out Hanukkah songs.
No, these guys are great. The Maccabees, they have 1.1 million views on YouTube.
Let's get them on the pod.
Yeah. They're probably local. Okay. So next on The Financial Quarterback, the Passover lamb or the Easter bunny?
You choose. The hottest debate since Trump and Biden.
We don't do Easter egg. We do the Easter lamb or we do the mm-hmm. cross.
Yeah.
Passover.
Passover? I mean, it's a cool story.
No, I love it. We have a Seder. It's awesome. We read the Haggadah, the Charoset. We do the lamb. It's awesome.
You do the tears?
Yeah.
The salt water?
Yeah. You know,
bitter herbs?
Yep. Yeah, I love it.
It really is a sensational experience. You know, it really recreates how miserable people were back in the day.
I love it. I don't actually think it's a bad taste. You got the horseradish. I think all Christians should celebrate the Seder too. Because Jesus did. That was what the Lord's Supper was. Communion.
Yeah.
Hey there, listeners. Are you up against a financial obstacle or have a burning money question? Here's your shot to not get sacked. Get your questions answered live on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Just dial 888-988-JOSH and leave us a message with your question. Or write us an email at info@financialquarterback.us. I might just answer your question live on the air. That's 888-988-5674, 888-988-JOSH, or email us info@financialquarterback.us. Leave us a message and let me help create your game-winning financial plan.
The previous presentation by Wealth Quarterback, LLC, WQL, was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that the future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. WQL is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the video content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if WQL is engaged or continues to be engaged to provide investment advisory services. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinsky.org.